everybody dresses like carny folk, and we fit in fine. It's the Guys, Games, and Beer podcast! Woo! Heck yeah.
Okay.
Beer court.
We have beer
court. We are like on mission today.
Wait a minute, but here's the thing about this beer court. So, Ryan, who's not here tonight.
Brought us beer, at least.
Yeah, Ryan.
We're sad you're not here, but thank you for the beer.
Yeah, you suck for not being here, but we'll drink your beer anyways.
You're a gentleman and a scholar, and you suck.
Okay, so what's the beer tonight, Travis?
Well,
wait.
We should probably do an official introduction.
We should probably do the official
sometime before I can talk about this beer I have in front of me.
You guys bought me just enough time to actually drink.
I get excited about the beer.
I can't drink without hokey theme songs.
All right.
I get to the hokey theme song. Beer court!
All right, now you can introduce it.
All right, so Ryan was nice enough to bring us something from Hinterland Brewery out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, and it is a Citra Pale Ale. Another hoppy beer. Woo! But we'll see if the
citrus
makes it interesting. It doesn't make it any more interesting off the bat. Does it have any description on it?
It does to me, but only because I like citrusy stuff, and basically the only IPAs I drink
okay.
that have
choose citrus. Adventure.
Yeah, but you're in beer. Nowadays.
In life.
Well, yeah, that's basically me.
There is a choice. The tried and tired and trodden, or the adventurous and bold. We choose adventure. Congratulations, you did too.
Wow, some brewer had way too much time.
At least it speaks directly to me, you know?
That's true. It's like this beer? This beer's for Travis.
No, I mean... I'm not quite on the hop train yet. I drink a lot of beer.
At least it's not telling Travis, kill everyone.
But it's an American pale ale with orange peel. So, we'll see.
Okay, I gotta say, man, it's got a really nice...
Let's see, anything about ABV or...
I need a copper because I'm a bad Wisconsin.
Yeah, 5% alcohol by volume.
It's got a really nice aroma.
Yeah, and they also apparently, the brewery that brews this Hinterland also has a farm-to-table restaurant in Green Bay.
Oh, cool.
Hinterlands. Yeah. Their stuff so far.
No, this really smells good.
It's not good beer until you bleed for it.
Oh. Well, I mean,
you know,
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
You can smell the orange in it.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells
good. It smells really good. No, but it smells good.
It smells good, though.
All right, let's try this.
All right, cheers. It's very hoppy.
We've had worse.
I like.
I know, but it's good.
Yeah, I gotta say it's got a nice citrus finish.
Yeah, and it doesn't linger on the tongue too much. Doesn't kill your taste.
The bitterness does. No, the bitterness doesn't.
Wow,
that's not bad actually. It's
okay. Okay.
I'm pretty good with this one, guys. It's it's got you get that hoppy front hit, but it has a nice citrus finish. I mean, you taste the citrus on the back end. And like
yeah.
Said, doesn't,
which you don't get from a lot of pale ales that try to put citrus in it.
Like citrus happy?
Yeah.
As much as I like it from MNKE.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I like citrus happy a lot, and citrus happy incorporates the citrus into the whole drink better, I think. But it's still a very, very subtle flavor. This, like, it gives you a kick in the mouth of hops, and then it gives you a kick in the mouth of citrus.
You really,
and that's a good 1-2 punch.
No,
I actually
really
like
it's,
that.
This is a really good one.
Yeah.
And again, it's not so overly bitter that if you drank this and then drank something else, that this will kill your taste buds for the rest of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is really quite good.
All right, well played.
Yeah, well played,
Hinterland.
Well played.
All right.
Let's give it a vote.
Justices.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is an all thumbs up.
Unanimous.
This is definitely worth that. All right, Judge Rob, pass judgment on this beer.
Count one, smelling a little bit like cat urine. I find you guilty. You do smell a little bit like cat urine.
Okay, maybe a touch.
You
did a bottle, though.
However, you know, because you have lifted above your cat urine smelliness to become a really good-tasting, pale ale.
They got really strong words.
I think we're going to do community service, and for your community service, it will be me drinking your ass.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so, Rob, what are we really doing here tonight?
All right, today we've got a guest with us, and that guest is...
Hi, I'm Eric Compton, the director and producer of Invoker, a new game coming out from 8th Shore Incorporated.
Woo!
Woo!
All right, so we're really excited about this because in case, and again, people who watch the show normally know we are big VR fanatics.
Yeah, in fact,
literally been doing VR since the beginning. Since all the dev kits came out, the original Oculus dev kit came out, we all went out and got the DK1s. We've been when we do our usual.
Okay, I'm just gonna go off a checklist in my head. Okay, so
okay.
Tim's got his Rift. You got a CV1, a DK2, a DK1. You've got a DK2 and a CV1.
I have two DK2s.
Two DK2s
and a DK1.
A CV1.
And a CV1. Yeah.
You got.
I'm down to the CV1. I've only got one now.
Okay. But yeah, there's a big amount of VR.
Right, and also I've got a Gear VR as well. And I love my Gear VR as well. I don't want to diss the Gear VR because it is a good system.
Yeah,
as well.
and just in general, I mean we do Oculus Rift demos at MGC on a regular basis. We're gonna it isn't as busy as it used to be, but still people are very interested in it. And it's not as busy as it used to be because so many have sold now. I mean,
right.
Just
it's becoming more mainstream. That makes we should do that at that Metal Fest in Madison. We maybe want to bring some.
We can talk about that.
Okay, all right, we're on to the show.
Back to the topic of Invoker here.
Okay, back to the topic of Invoker. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the game Invoker?
Sure thing. So Invoker is a 1v1 wizard dueling game with a pretty basic, generic, like high fantasy aesthetic. And we made it like super cartoony, cel shaded-y because I felt like there's not a whole lot of that out right now. And wizards are cool, so why not?
Wizards are cool. I mean, you're right. Yeah.
Now, as far as VR games, yeah, I think this is the first one I've seen that did that whole cel shading thing in a VR game.
It's like Dreamcast VR.
Yeah.
When it comes to like this 1v1 kind of battling stuff, like, so is it just casting spells at each other, or what kind of game modes, how does one play the game in virtual reality?
So there's a couple different game modes. The focus is the PvP aspect where you fight other players. You have like private rooms that you can host with your friends or just public random matchmaking. You can also fight an AI. We also have a boss fight right now, as well as some practice modes like target break time attack.
Okay. So, again, one of the things I saw in the video was kind of like some different kind of elemental spells and things like that. Does everybody have access to all the spells, or is it like you choose certain classes to kind of do battle with one another, or how does that all work?
So, essentially, you have four different elements that you can choose from. Every element has its own shared toolkit, so there's five spells that everyone can cast. And there's one unique spell that each element has, element specific, that's their, like, you know, special. And essentially the idea is that you have a really, like, simple toolkit to the point where everyone can understand it easily, but there's small nuances to each spell for added depth for people who like the more complicated PvP aspects.
Spells. Maybe we should go through some of the spells and how the spell system works. I can probably do a little bit of an overview, but you can use your left hand basically calls up spells, and your right hand does the casting. What spells are available? Let's talk a little bit about that, because I accidentally cast shield a bit.
Yeah, it happens. So there's five different spells that you can cast. The most simplistic one is slow. You cast spells first of all by drawing shapes in the air. It's a gesture recognition system. And the first one, slow, just slows down your enemy's projectile for 3 seconds. Bolts, which is a triangle, will stop your projectile in air for a short period and fling itself at your opponent really quick. There's ward, which is the shield, blocks one attack. There's familiar, which you have a little dragon friend named Rin who helps you out in battle and like attacks your opponent, and that increases its attack speed substantially. And split, which splits your projectile into two different projectiles while it's traveling.
Which is mean.
Sounds like you got hit once or twice by that, Rob.
Maybe once or twice?
By fireballs a bit, yeah.
So when it came to like deciding we want to make Invoker as a project, we want to kind of put our own touch on kind of like spellcasting and wizardry in virtual reality, like how did this project come to fruition?
So I will say it was definitely a team effort to start. We were just kind of like at a point where, you know, we're deciding what kind of project that we want to do. So we're looking around and pitching around different ideas and stuff. So one of the things that we had was like, what if we had like a wizard tower defense game, and that was like, oh, that could potentially be cool, but then you have something like The Lab, which is free and already has kind of like an archery tower defense thingy, which is pretty fun. And then just throughout, you know, a lot of discussions and different like ideas, we eventually came into wizard duels and just kind of built a prototype and just throwing like spears at each other back and forth, and that ended up being really fun, and then we just kind of went forward from there.
So which engine did you start development on?
What was that?
Which gaming engine did you start your development on?
Unity.
You did use Unity, okay. You know, again, for getting something done, Unity is a great engine to do, especially in the VR
it
world.
Is.
And then compatibility wise.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting it to run.
Cross-platform.
So, did you have, like, a specific interest in, like, developing specifically for VR? It sounds kind of like your company is kind of a VR-focused company. Is that kind of the case?
It is. So, we mainly focus on VR. We have three games, including Invoker, that we've released in VR. And we've actually experimented with other engines, too. Our previous game was built in Unreal, and I'll just say there's a reason that we switched to Unity.
Fair enough.
Okay, now that brings up the point. If you're doing VR development and you're using Unity as your engine, is there any plan to do things like the mobile VR and VR games like the Gear VR?
So we've definitely looked into it, but there's a lot of limitations compared to something like the Vive or the Oculus Rift when you're talking about mobile VR. While it's a very large and very interesting market, the limitations make it difficult porting something that we already have, like Invoker, to mobile. But we're definitely looking into it for, like, you know, new projects and what have you. Mobile VR is a really good market.
Yeah, like, again, for standalone games, I mean,
I definitely can see there being a lot of complications when it comes to mobile VR, though, because, again, you have a lot of different configurations when it comes to phones and things like that.
Well, people are worried about getting the controls to work. That would be kind of hard.
No, but that being said, if you're sticking with, like, a single platform, like the Oculus platform and mobile, you don't have that issue. They have a very limited set of types of devices that you can
use on that kind of device.
Right, so it doesn't become an issue. So that's the reason why a lot of companies you'll see developing, again, who haven't developed in the general VR market, are porting things over to just that market, or doing a standalone for just that market. So again, for a standalone market for you guys, as a single process, I can see that being done. Yeah, porting something over, it doesn't lend itself well to things that run really well on the Vive or on the Oculus.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of challenges in VR that come up that's different than normal game development. Like, frame rate is a huge thing that not a whole lot of PC games and stuff really have to worry about nowadays. Just because, like, in VR, in order to prevent simulation sickness, you gotta keep your frame rate above 90 FPS, which is decently high. But you also have to keep in mind the game is being rendered twice, once for each eye. It makes things, like, you really have to budget your frame rate in order to prevent simulation sickness, which creates a lot of challenges in terms of, like, we can't just throw a bunch of really cool stuff in there as much as we'd like to.
Bunch of crap looking at you, yeah.
No, and then that goes, so now that makes sense. So going with the cartoony design of the game, did that make it a little bit easier to achieve those frame rates?
I wouldn't say easier, because it's got its own specific challenges to it, and it's kind of interesting how everything plays into it, because some things are a lot more expensive than you would think, as opposed to just flat-out graphics. Like, menu and UI and stuff ended up being one of the biggest problems that we ran into in terms of dropping frame rate.
Really?
Yeah.
You're right, I wouldn't have thought that.
Right? So, one of the reasons that we specifically went into the cell shading thing is because I've seen a lot of VR try to get into, like, the more realistic stuff, because immersion is such a huge thing in VR, because it does it really, really well.
Gotcha.
But I hadn't seen a whole lot of really interesting stylized stuff, and in my opinion, stylized games keep better than games that try to push the edges of realism, because as soon as the technology bypasses that level of realism and gets to a, like, better level of realism, it feels dated when you go back and play those games.
Yeah, no, you know, that's a very good point, actually, and something that's not going to be an issue with using the cel shading.
Yeah, I think you can see that, like, with retro games a lot, too, that if you go with a classic style, that they they age better. I mean, there's a lot of, like, you know, look at the Dreamcast, look at even some of the NES games that they don't necessarily push it.
Went with the PlayStation. You know,
they just did well.
Like the first generation games, the PlayStation had those 2D graphics games, which just smooth as butter. And then you had early 3D games like Ballerina Toshinden, which were great at the time, but really didn't.
That I didn't play it. That's like horrible.
Now that, yeah, well, that does bring up a point because I don't think the lifespan is going to be as short. I think for as long for VR games as it will be for classic console games, PC games, etc. I think VR games are going to have a much shorter shelf life. Because of the technical advances in VR.
I do have to say, I think if for the first couple of years, the development of VR was a big jump. I mean, you look at DK1 to DK2, which is a CV1, but I think we're going to hit some technical limitations when it comes to advancing past that. I mean, you're pushing some very, very high resolutions to get that big jump to the next level, your 4K, things like that. It's, you know, still fairly, it's a lot better than it was, but cumbersome, you know, wiring, gear-wise, things like that. I think the next advancements aren't necessarily going to be graphical quality, but it's going to be
wireless.
It's much more trying to improve that and getting it to be, you know, a lighter, sleeker package.
Yeah, I have to agree with that, too. I mean, so one of the early projects me and Travis did here was to make wireless rigs.
Oh, man, yeah, for DK1 and DK2, that was a pain in the ass. It was legitimately, like,
a vest.
Tactical vest, strapping batteries, all of you had a battery and wireless USB transmitter. And
wireless HDMI.
A wireless HDMI transmitter, so you had, like, multiple transmitters Velcroed to your body just so you can run a DK1 wirelessly. It was worth it.
It is.
And then it was on top of that, it was like their first generation of motion controllers. You really only had the Razer Hydra. And that thing was corded, regardless of whether you wanted it to or not. So, it's amazing to see how they jumped in quality. And again, the motion controls have really added some interesting stuff. Being able to, you know, move around and cast spells and, like, it just, like, adds such a level of immersion. Being able to throw your hands in the game, and I think it's... it's really awesome. I just geek out about it.
You look at a game like Invoker, and you wouldn't have been doing that just a year ago.
No, I have to agree.
Just
you
didn't have the motion controls that were set well enough yet. Now, I mean, this generation, well, maybe a year.
Two years ago.
Yeah. It's just, you've got so much better hardware to deal with this stuff that you can make some really creative stuff now. I mean, like I said, my jump was from, you know, DevKit 1 over to...
the CV1.
Yeah, which is just an insane difference in control capabilities. You actually become more annoyed with the limitations of it, though.
The control capability?
Yeah, the DK1...
Okay, so that...
You didn't really care because you were just using whatever you had, but...
Right.
No.
So that brings up the point. So, having to work on the control issues... and there are some issues with the controls. They're great. They are a lot better than they used to be. What kind of issues did you guys run into programming Invoker for these controllers? I mean, you've got two completely different types of controllers between the CV1 and the Vive. Did you guys run into a lot of issues with that?
So not really, because we originally programmed based on the Vive entirely, and the really nice thing about at least Unity is porting to something like Oculus Rift is really, really easy. It just kind of works. You just you have to do some like small adjustments and such, like, you know, the angle of the hands change slightly. So there's some small programmatic stuff, but I think it took us like maybe 2 days to get everything we need in there for doing Bolt.
Really? Okay, that's an amazing turnaround time.
It is, and we were really happy about that.
I bet you were, yeah. It's like, holy crap, that worked.
So again, you kind of talk about this officially releases in a couple of days here from the time we record this. You have some PvP modes, some matches with bots, a boss mode. Is there anything you're kind of looking forward to in the future of Invoker?
So there's plenty of things that we have ideas for and stuff that we want to do, like, you know, more bosses is, I think, number one we're playing right now, because one is neat, but people probably want more than one. But we're focusing on trying to develop Invoker's future content based around what people want. So we're releasing on July 28th, which is a Thursday, And we're hoping that we get a lot of community feedback so that we can see exactly what people want us to do with Invoker, be it like more multiplayer modes, custom matches, more bosses, like a full single player campaign. And we're really going to be monitoring that very heavily to determine specifically what we want to focus on.
Okay, so
well, everybody was being polite for one night.
Yeah.
We all hung over.
Yeah, well, it's been a long day. It's been a couple of months. All right, so the expansion packs in the future?
I mean, potentially. I think we're going to focus very heavily on getting us out of early access first.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm just jumping ahead here.
So I think one of the most interesting parts, again, I've seen some other VR games, you know, you get wines or things like that. I do have to say the boss mode was a pretty interesting feature to kind of set itself apart from some of the other casting spell games. Is there anything else that you can think of off the top of your head that really sets Invoker apart from the other ones that are out there?
The aesthetic is honestly one of the bigger ones because, hilariously enough, looking, I didn't see a whole lot of specifically, like, high fantasy, I don't want to say the word generic, but generic high fantasy looking games that have, you know, that wizard aesthetic on the market provide. And I feel like there's a lot of people that want that, myself included, so.
It's easier sometimes to kind of set aside your pretenses when you're kind of familiar with a setting, for sure.
There are other games like this, and I think this is, again, and I'm a big Wands player as well, so I play Wands as well. I think I like about yours, first of all, again, is the aesthetic. I think the aesthetic is, again, especially for VR games, I like the difference in the aesthetic. It's not this, oh my God, we're trying to achieve this, you know, real place you're in. It's this, okay, it's all fantasy. This is all, you're playing in a fantasy thing. And I like the whole, gesture control versus selection control. The thing about Wands, and Wands is a good game, but it's selection control. It's a question of how quick can you choose what you want versus how quick you can make the gesture.
I should have asked this as like a follow-up question earlier, so pardon me. Like, so when it came to like the individual element classes, like what are some of the unique spells that those classes have?
Good call.
Sure. So let's see. Fire's special is Barrage, which normally you can only throw one fireball at a time until it is destroyed by either hitting your opponent or missing them and going behind them. But Barrage allows you to throw two separate ones, one in each hand, and that can create some really fun mind games where, like, you throw one straight at your opponent, and then you just, like, spike the other one in the corner, and it just bounces around the room at your opponent, because you're essentially in this square hallway, for those who haven't seen the trailer, and you can bounce your projectile around the floor, walls, and ceiling. So creating the different speeds and the different angles that you throw it at can really throw off your opponent for the Fire Mage one. Ice Mage is a Shatter, where if you do a bounce on your first throw while your special is active, it splits into three projectiles, which is a lot harder to dodge than just the two with split. Air Mage is normally can only travel to a certain speed when you throw your projectile, where it is based on actually how fast you swing your arm. If you push your arm really slowly and then let go, it goes very slow, and if you whip your arm around, it goes really fast. But that makes, Air Mage Special makes the speed cap double, and you always throw the fastest that you possibly can, no matter what. So it just, if you're really precise, it's really hard to deal with, because this stuff is just coming at you super fast. And then Earth Mages just changes your smaller rock projectile into a giant boulder, which rolls down the middle of the area when you throw it, and is pretty difficult to dodge, but slow.
I spent a lot of time on the floor.
So, again, it hits early access in a couple of days. I saw you guys had a thread on Reddit kind of getting people some testing beforehand. What's generally kind of been the response on, like, what users have kind of said about Invoker as you've tested it out?
For the most part, people really seem to like it. Like, a lot of the feedback we were getting, we received a lot of bug reports and what have you, and I am happy to say that thus far we have been able to address I think all of them that I've seen so far, and that version got pushed before we're launching. So hopefully all that stuff should be addressed. Past that point, like the biggest thing is the reaction that I wanted to see, which is just people are just having fun. The core concept of Invoker is that we just wanted to make a game that was just inherently fun to play at its core. Just, you know, throwing fireballs, waving your hands around in magical manner, or just having fun fighting your friends.
Yeah, again, there's again something to be said, just having those, we've talked about it on other interviews we had, just having those solid mechanics down where a game is simple enough to pick up, you understand it, it's not too obtuse to learn. And again, especially when you get into VR and stuff, you know, you want something you can pick up and play and just have fun with. So again, I think Invoker seems to have a really, really good spirit of that for sure. I also have to say again, with the style choice and everything, it's fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously, which I appreciate as well. It's a kind of leads you to enjoy it a little bit more, whether that, you know, unlike some of those other VR spellcasting games for sure.
Yeah, and that's a very good point on that, because like I said, I played heavily some of the other ones, and
some people get too into it.
They really do. Oh my god,
it gets unfun.
I think that just sucks the life right out of a game like this. Yeah. Whereas this game again seems much more lighthearted that way, as far as just fun.
Oh, that was the goal. So I'm glad you guys think so.
So, how many people do you have on your development team?
Invoker's development team is 6 people.
Who's the graphics guy?
Graphics guy would be Dylan Herrick.
Should probably give him a little bit of love there.
Give him a lot of love. He did an amazing job.
The explosions and elemental effects
really
cool. They look very cool.
Yeah, no, he definitely did a wonderful job. We have two artists specifically working on the project. Dylan Herrick is our lead artist, who did most of the modeling, texturing, and stuff like that. And then Alex Chabang is the animator, who did all of the animations for Rin, your friendly dragon friend, and the boss.
So we've talked about your current project, but it sounds, again, you said you had 3 games, including this one. What were some of your past projects?
Our first foray into VR was Santa Sling, which is like a really, really basic, casual slingshot game that has a Christmas aesthetic where, you know, like you're Santa delivering presents to houses and what have you. It's very basic, but, you know, we released it for $4 because it's very basic. And it was just sort of like a really, really good learning experience for us while we learned the do's and don'ts of VR.
Yeah.
Our second game is Nightmare Grotto, which is currently available on Steam as well. Which is a horror-themed wave shooter, which, you know, there's a whole bunch of that kind of stuff out on the market for VR right now. And so for Nightmare Grotto specifically, we focused on the immersion aesthetic. As much as I like the stylistic choice that we did for Invoker, in Nightmare Grotto specifically, we did kind of focus on the realism and the immersion aspect of things, because we can really draw on that, because that's the one that we use the Unreal Engine for, and Unreal does a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
And it's good. Like, we've gotten a lot of screens during playtests, so we were happy with the result of that for sure.
I bumped into my chair and injured myself. I forgot to clear my play area.
Yeah, you are supposed to do that.
That's on you, man.
Yeah. I mean, they tell you right before.
Yeah.
Clear your play area.
Yeah. Come on,
man. But, you know, I was well within my boundaries.
You don't have boundaries.
Okay.
Okay, to anybody who's listening to us, Matt just made a very suggestive face at Rob.
Yeah. Oh, no, the peanut gallery's going to
the
town.
The peanut gallery's been, yeah.
Hell yeah, peanut gallery. You got my shit.
All right, so Invoker's coming along. He's about to release that. Other projects in the works.
We are in the process of discussing what we want to do. Obviously, Invoker right now is going to be our main focus, simply because of the fact that, you know, we're releasing as early access, which is a promise to our consumers that we're going to, you know, continue developing and do a certain amount of content that justifies being in early access. So, for now, Invoker's continued development is what we're focusing on.
Nice.
That is a good way to do things.
It really is. The problem is, again, a lot of companies get ahead of themselves, and that can be an issue in the long run, too. Are you thinking, again, we know this is early access and so on, other things you think about adding to Invoker right now?
I mean, like I said earlier, I think the second boss is what we're mostly focused on doing stuff. Just because I am very partial to that mode myself.
It's very fun, yeah. Very fun with it.
Yeah, thank you. It's something that, like, I feel like it's a unique enough mode that we've gotten a lot of very good reception from people who played it. And I myself play a lot of MMOs, and I want to do something kind of like those you know, early MMO boss fights where you have this, like, interesting thing where you got to learn patterns, learn, like, the read and what the boss is doing and stuff like that.
And
I really hope that we can add, like, a bunch of bosses and stuff, maybe, like, a single-player mode or something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of ideas, like I said, and we're going to be looking at what people say, and hopefully people say that they want more bosses so that we can do it.
No, it's also a good way to interact with other players, too. Like, again, the PvP thing's cool and things like
that.
But, again, it just adds an entirely different dynamic, the kind of cooperative learning experience where either you know the boss and you kind of, like, work with other players to kind of teach them the ropes, or, again, you can tackle a new boss and kind of figure out new ways to defeat it. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, thank you.
I think dunking each other is the most fun thing ever.
Hey, you like getting a fireball in the face. What are you talking about?
Not you, familiar. Fireball in the
face. Familiar. Right. Wait. Okay, I'm gonna stop now before I go down that path.
It's just seen darling.
So Tom, does the carpet match the? Never mind.
No. That was horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's
horrible. All right, so any good tricks or tips for the 101? I know my wife had a hard time. It was largely, though, because she grabbed the Oculus right after I didn't hide adjust, so she was bouncing. She was bouncing everywhere. It was hilarious. She got one, like, behind her, and it was going behind her. It was awesome. Good times for me.
Yeah, because you get to watch it laugh. So.
Yeah, I did get to watch it laugh. But any good hints or tips?
Yeah, there's actually a decent amount. We designed it so that each spell has its own specific nuance that you can use. So, like, for example, Split, which splits your projectile into two projectiles, changes the trajectory that it's traveling at to just essentially just split in kind of a Y shape. And most people will dodge by, you know, leaning left or right, because that's the easiest motion to do. So if you cast Split the last second, it's a really good way to cut off your opponent's, like, area of escape. There's also a small window where your projectile is behind your opponent. So if you cast Bolt at the last second, it'll start charging behind your opponent, which makes it a lot harder for them to dodge and see. So every one of the spells has a very small nuance like that. I will also say that if you're having trouble countering very aggressive players, slow is going to be your best friend.
Ah, well, that is a really good tip to know.
Then they're done to my speed, finally.
Geriatric?
Yes, pretty much. Geriatric and stiff.
Hey, we cast spells from a book.
This should be a get off my lawn spell. All right.
Go ahead. You have their five elements right now. Again, I think it's nice that since there's kind of like a base level, you're not getting too involved with, you know, tens to, you know, 20 spells that kind of are difficult to follow, and you can actually see kind of how an attack is broadcast. But is there any kind of, like, plans to add in either new elements or just kind of ways people can kind of tweak their spells even further to their liking, or?
I would absolutely love to add in stuff like that right now, but it's, again, a question of what we want to see, what everyone really wants us to do. Like, a spell loadout feature is something that I wanted to do where, like, you know, maybe we'll add five more spells than you can pick the five that you wanted to. Something like that. More elements is always a thing, because right now we have the four, fire, earth, water, and wind, fire, earth, ice, and wind. And we would love to add, you know, the next two would probably be electricity and water. If we were to add something like that. But yeah, it's really just going to come down to what people want to see.
That's cool. I like that. That's a good answer. All right. So outside of being released early access on Steam in a couple days, if people want to find out more about your game, again, they can check out the Steam page, but where else can they find you?
Well, we got a Facebook page, Invoker VR, Twitter, same handle. Other than that, honestly, the Steam community page for Invoker is probably going to be the most heavily monitored out of all of our ways to contact us. So I would definitely say if you want to get in contact with us, drop a message there.
Yeah, I've been very active in the section, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So
I appreciate your response.
It really has been very cool that way. Again, just lots of good information on that particular section. So if you'll want to check out and get more info about the game, Steam is a good way to do it right now.
Definitely so.
All right, Rob.
I just got sidetracked.
You did, Rob. I saw that look on your eyes.
I was actually looking at hints and tips.
As we're talking.
Looking to get a little better at the game?
Yeah, because Rob sucks at the game, so he does need more hints or tips.
I'm fine at the game. I can duck
fine.
I duck like a boss, man. My chicken heart does me well.
All right, so, Rob.
If they want to find us online.
So, here we go. If you want to listen to Guys, Games, and Beer online, you can check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. If you are a Facebooker and you like free games, you can check us out at www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer, where we give away free games on Friday, if I remember. If not, they get given away on other days. But generally, we really shoot for Friday. There is, of course, all sorts of chatter and Guys, Games, and Beer news there. If we're going to have a live event, which happens pretty darn often lately.
A lot of live events coming up.
One coming up, yep. And we'll be talking about that on Facebook, so you can check it out there. Also, if you are a Twitterer, you can do it at Guys Games Beer. Notice that there's no and there. Finally, if you want to know more about our dev, there will be links down below in the description, both to their website and to the game on Steam, which you should probably have some fun with once available.
What is the drop date on this one, guys? What's the drop date on this?
20th, right?
The 20th.
Yep. The 20th. So
July 20th.
So again, if you're watching the show on our tonight, two more days. If you are watching the show on Thursday, it's when the game is dropping. Go to Steam, buy the game. It's really good. You definitely want this one for your VR collection.
Yep, it'll be fun.
Yeah, most definitely. And you can play against us, the guys giving the beer crew, because we're all in there already playing. So you really should get there so we can challenge your ass.
And we suck.
And yeah, too. So if you want to feel better about yourself, go ahead and tweet us. Look for Retro Rob, look for Skyboy TV, look for Tyrannosaurus. You will beat the crap out of us every time you play.
I don't know.
If we get mad on there, you can
actually
watch
Travis is good.
Sure, you're just going to see a VR avatar just bending over. Just for 15
minutes
at a time.
Me and Rob, not so much.
Neck. Yeah. All right, so thank you very much for coming on, Eric.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
We got another full episode next week, Tuesday at the same time. Man, we're off of those pre-recorded episodes.
I know.
Whenever we have a pre-recorded, it throws me off a little bit.
By the way, Twitter followers, we will be giving away some free stuff tomorrow, so check out the Twitter feed. At least a game or two being given away tomorrow.
Thank you very much for watching, Guys, Games, and Beer. We will see you next week.